this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Well, church, Pastors Chris and Ruth aren't here today, so you've got me preaching. Don't even have a theme. There's no theme. It's just what is Hudson going to come up with? What's he thinking about? Have you ever seen something start to go wrong and you just can't do anything about it? Have you ever seen that? There's plenty of times we see something going wrong, especially now as a parent, and I'm like, oh, okay, we'll stop that quickly. You know, the dad reflexes quickly grab something, or it's too late, reaching for the hot something. But sometimes you see something going wrong and you're like, oh no, I can't do anything about it. Maybe you're physically not there. So in my time in the military, you have positions. Everyone's got ranks and positions. And when I was going through training, everyone's got their roles to play. So you've got generally a platoon, which is like 30 soldiers or people, and everyone's got a position. So you've got the people at the front, like literally when I say at the front, I mean physically when we're going out on patrol, walking around, there are people at the front and they're the scouts, okay? And so they might carry a little bit less gear, the rifles are a little bit different. And then you've got riflemen, which is just your grunts. And then you'll have signalers, so these are the guys that carry the radios, and so they've got antennas and they're running around talking and making sure it all coordinates. And then on the flanks, on the sides, generally you've got the machine gunners, and generally it's like who plays rugby and weighs close to 100? You're the machine gunner. And then you've got some people at the back as well, just grunts basically, and generally they're the newest and they carry the most weight. But then in the middle you've also got the people in charge, so you've got a platoon sergeant and a platoon commander. And so when we're going through training, you all kind of rotate these positions generally, and the platoon commander, they're the ones that are basically being assessed. And one of the main jobs of the platoon commander is to know where you are physically on a map and where you're going. And you're kind of, 2IC is allowed to help, but no one else is allowed to say anything because they're under assessment. And so often when I was not the platoon commander or platoon sergeant, my role was being a machine gunner because I carry a little bit more weight than perhaps I should. And so it was just, right, you get to carry all the machine gun. It's much heavier and bulkier. And so anyway, so there was an instance and I'm at the back just basically kind of half enjoying not the burden of responsibility for a change and instead the physical burden of lots of stuff. And I'm sort of just trudging along in the back. And in my mind, and it was past midnight, so I'm just thinking, let's just get there because I want to sleep. I'm tired. I'm in that horrible phase where you're sweaty but you're cold at the same time. And I'm just trudging along. And I kind of just get this sense, I'm like, we've been walking longer than I would have expected for this. Anyway, and then I see a big hill and I'm like, I don't remember any hills. No, that's not my job, whatever. And then I realize, I think we're lost, because then I see we're walking along and then I see, oh, we're going this way, what's going on? And then we're going this way, what's going on? And then I get that horrible feeling and I start looking around and I see everyone else starting to go, oh man, we're lost. And it's past midnight, so it's pitch black, and which is not easy to do. Like navigating at nighttime is very difficult without a GPS. So map and compass, old school, and drawing lines. And anyway, a couple of hours go by and the instructors weren't there. So people start going, hey, come, you got to just help. You got to just, hey, where are we going? And so finally it lands with me. And so someone just goes, please, let's just get back. Let's just get back. Like, let's just wrap it up. And so I was kind of annoyed at that point. I'm like, fine, someone carry this stupid big machine gun, carry this. Give me the map, and then I had to do this thing where you re-triangulate. So I'm like, okay, there's a hill with a light. I find that on the map. You have to go look at the compass, get a direction, reverse it, then add the difference between the map and the magnetic, find something else, draw two lines on a map, and then you're like, okay, we're probably in this little circle here, which means if we're there and where we should be is over there, that means I've got to go here again, subtract the difference between, and then another 2 hours later, we finally get back. And it was just incredibly stressful to try and go from not knowing where I am in the pitch black and then suddenly just like, can you just figure it out, please? Please. And so when people are lost in the world, are they looking to Christ? Probably not, because they don't really know who Christ is. They probably have no idea, is Christ even a real thing that I can ask? Or are they looking for someone in their life? And are you that person in their life? Are they looking to their parents? Are they looking to a manager at work? Or do they just have no one and they just stay lost? So I want to talk today about leadership. I want to talk today about, as a Christian, we are all leaders. And that as you go through life, there are other people who are lost. And they don't know Christ. We know that we are looking at our compass bearing straight to Christ. But people may not know that. And so they may look around and say, they seem to have everything figured out, right? And so in my time in the military, I started as just a grunt and then went to become an officer. I spent a lot of time being taught, thinking, seeing, and then also practicing being in charge and watching people be in charge and leadership in general. And so every single day you arrive and there'll be someone that gives you your daily order and then you have to pass that down and then it gets translated. So it's constant leadership. And then how that really applies, though, as a Christian is the question I want to get to. And so what is that? What is leadership? Well, again, I'm sticking with the military analogy. So the Defence Force has an actual doctrinal definition, and it's called, they say it is, the art of positively influencing others to get the job done. Nice and succinct. And so it's influence to achieve an outcome at its core. And really what that is a combination of the authority that you've been given as a position. So you think of like at your workplace, someone's a manager, that's a position of authority. And then you've got the organizational component of that, the management component, right? Someone's making sure the resources are there, you've got the right tools or you've got the right things, your admin's done. So that's the management side of it. And then the leadership is the influence. And the best leaders in all contexts will have all three of those things. You can have leaders. I remember I had a leader who he was my manager at the time at work, and he was a great leader. He was just this visionary, get us all pumped up and we're all influenced, and he just had no management whatsoever, because we'd go into our staff meetings and he'd be like, we're going to do this, we're going to change the world, this is going to happen, and then he'd leave and everyone would be like, but what are we doing? And so I would be, okay, you guys go do this, and you guys go do this, and then we'll come back and then, yeah, great. And so you need all of these things, but that's fine. What does the Bible say about leadership? Because Jesus was really the ultimate leader. If you're talking about influence and impact in the world, probably the single most influential person in history ever, right? It's easy to think of like leaders and you think of these, you know, Winston Churchill, Alexander the Great, or, you know, someone closer, like a inspirational, you know, Phil Pringle type. And that's certainly leadership. But what does that mean for us in our daily lives? So let's look at the Bible. In Matthew 20, Jesus says to his disciples, Jesus called them together and said, you know what the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be a servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. What does that mean for a leader? What does that mean for us as Christians? The model that Jesus is outlining here is servant leadership. And that is not, what am I here to tell you what to do? But it's, what can I do for you? And now what Jesus said is, what can I do for you? I'm going to sacrifice myself for your eternal sins, which is not something we all have the ability to do, but we as Christians can be servant leaders. And that is the model that Jesus is outlining there. In order to be first, you must first be your slave to help. I've seen this in action. I've seen a really great leader, and I remember going to him, this problem, and expecting him to say, okay, we'll go do this then. He said, okay, what can I do for you then? And I was kind of off put by that in a military setting. I was like, well, you tell me what to do. Isn't that how this works? And so he was enabling and serving me to go, well, what do you need me to do? What can I get for you to serve you? Right? And then sometimes I would say, no, I need your direction. I need you to tell me what to do here. That's fine. But Jesus is outlining a servant leadership. And so I really want to emphasize as a first, secondary key point here is that as Christians, we are all leaders. Christian leadership is to aim to glorify God and, as a byproduct of that, influence others to grow in faith and serve God. We all have our sphere of influence. You can control what you do, but you can influence others. And your sphere of influence might be very broad. It might be very small. But certainly you can influence your family to a degree, your friends, your workplace. And so are you influencing people towards God? Are you leading them towards God? Matthew 28, verse 18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So this is Jesus' call. He even says, all authority has been given to me, and therefore you go out. So he's got that position of authority. He's the Son of God. And he's asking us as Christians, go out and lead. Go out and influence. My point here is that we can't be faith, Holy Spirit-filled Christians and not acknowledge that we are called to this influence and this leadership. We can't separate that. That's like saying you're a parent but not a father or a mother. It is part of what we are as Christians to call and be a light in the darkness, to illuminate and be leaders in the world. And now, well, we'll get into that, but it's going to be different for everyone, but to recognize that that's the authority that Jesus has and has called us to, amen? If people are lost in the darkness, people are going, I'm going to think of that, wandering in the bush, wondering not where they're going. Are you just another person bumbling along with them? Just like, yeah, I don't know, man. Best of luck with it. See ya. Or when people are struggling and people don't know what to do and people don't know Christ, they're looking for answers. They're looking for purpose. They don't know what's going on. Are they looking to someone maybe to guide them and to lead them? And is that you? Or are you just going to let them just, yeah, well, good luck with that. Yeah. I mean, I go to church every Sunday, but you wouldn't, yeah. No. That is when we are called to be leaders. Amen. Jesus had called us to spread the word, to teach them and obey everything I've commanded you. Because Jesus is with you. He's given you that authority and he's asking you to go and influence others to bring them to Christ. As a leader and leaders, as Christians, we need to believe in something bigger than ourselves. Leadership can't be centered on yourself. That's basically just narcissism. Leaders need a mission, yeah? It's all very well to say you're a leader, but what are you leading to, yeah? What's your vision? What are you trying to achieve? Proverbs 19, it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The ultimate purpose of leadership is to lead people to Christ. And this is what Jesus was calling the disciples to. This is what they recognized. Oh, I have to lead people to Christ. This is the ultimate form of leadership and influence. Yeah, it's the only form of leadership that's going to echo in eternity. It's the only form of leadership that really matters at the core of it is to guide people to Christ. Yeah, you can achieve great outcomes with build great things and build new plans. Yeah, many other plans of a man, but ultimately it's Jesus' plan that's going to last forever because we're building his eternal kingdom, not the kingdom here on earth. And so Acts, in the book of Acts, actually, Paul, who is going out and very much fulfilling this calling, he's starting churches, pastoring them. He says, I've appointed you as the light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So it's all very well to understand you're a leader, but you have to understand the mission. What are you trying to achieve? What's the end state here? So Paul, he didn't think of himself as much, really, in the grand scheme of things. He was totally subservient to God's plan. And he was committed to that specific mission, which allowed him to really stand up in the face of all kinds of adversity. He was locked up. He was constantly thrown out of places. But he believed in something. Yeah, and that enabled him to make great change. I think I've said this before, but I said it about soldiers, but really, people hate two things, the way things are and change. Yeah, so you have to sell that vision. Paul is there selling, hey, I've got answers. All those questions you got, you don't know what's going on? Let me show you where to go. So my question is, do our daily thoughts, our actions speak louder than words, do they align with Christ to influence people? Or are you, you know, come in here on a Sunday and that's sort of your Christian taste and life is just life, right? Or are we actually guiding light? Appointed you as a light for the Gentiles out in the darkness so people understand what's going on, where they can go. Yeah? The other point is be the best version of your leadership. Don't try and be another version of someone else's leadership. We're all called to Christ and to lead and to influence, but the way that's done for everyone here is different. Not everyone is going to be on stage singing influence. Not everyone's going to be that charismatic person that can just like walk up to people and get them to come to church the next week. Not everyone's going to be the softly spoken guiding kind of leadership. There is every different version of leadership under the sun right here in this room. The purpose is the same, to lead people to Christ. But the way and the methods that we're all going to go about that is different. Yeah? We have to recognize that. And I would see that in the military. You'd see these very impressive leaders come through, and then you would see people around them try and emulate that. And it just came off just very disingenuous and awkward, because you're like, oh, you're kind of putting on an act here. That's not you. You know, it's better to be unapologetically what God designed you to be, but the best version of that. Because that's not to just completely reject the idea of self-improvement. I'm fine the way I am. It's like, are you perfect? Well, no. Right. So we can recognize we do need to be better, but be the better version of yourself. Not look at other people and go, why can't I just be them? I'm not as charismatic. I'm not as good as them at that. No, no. What's God's plan for you? And be the best version of that. Yeah? You're not going to be, not everyone's going to be, if I think of positions in the army, the best machine gunner or the best platoon commander. What's your role? What's God called you to do? And be the best version of that. I do enjoy reading, when I read the Gospels, every time Peter pops up in the text, I just think, man, what a character. But I just love that he was completely himself. In Matthew 16, the famous story in which he rejects God, or Jesus, three times. But also just before he had declared, Jesus, you're the Savior, right? What a crazy character. But he's unapologetically Peter. There's a great book. It's a novel called The Robe, and it's about the soldier who got Jesus' robe after he was crucified. Now, it's novel, so it's a hypothetical. One of the soldiers, they gambled for the robes. A soldier did get it, and so the concept of the novel is, well, what happened to that soldier? He's got the robes of Christ, and it's a great novel. I'd recommend you to read it. But at one point in the book, I'm reading it, and I didn't know, and there's this giant Jewish fisherman shows up, and I'm like, I know who that is. And oh, that's awesome, like a great little cameo. And he was just exactly what you'd imagine in this novel, just this crazy version out there discipling and preaching, and all the way to the end, which if you read about Peter, the way he was eventually died was crucified, but he didn't feel like he was worthy to die the same way as Christ. So he's like, fine, do it upside down. He's like, yeah, all right. Just kind of a maniac. Let's be honest, but completely on brand. So don't try and be someone else's form of leadership. Don't be a version of Christianity that you see other people do really well. Go to God and ask, what's the version of Christian and the leader that you want me to be? Yeah? Be that. That sort of level of clarity and being genuine to yourself is so important, because reputation, you know, is lost in buckets, gained in drops. We had a, it'll stick with you forever if you're not what you're called to be. I remember showing up to a training course, and one of our instructors, everyone behind his back, called him Rowboat Robinson. And I was like, it's an interesting nickname. What's that? And so the story kind of trickled around. Rowboat Robinson, we, every 6 months or so, you have to do a fitness test in the army, push-ups, sit-ups, and then you got to do a run. And you got to do it under a certain amount of time. And, it can sting, like, you got to run quite 2.4 kilometres. And for whatever reason, he had, I don't know, injured himself, I guess. And you can put your hand up and say, oh, no, I'm not, I'm injured, I can't pass it today, I'll give me another week, that's fine. But for whatever reason, he thought, no, I'll be fine. So he kind of did a quarter of the loop, then jogged into the gym, jumped on one of the rowing machines, and then rode the rest of, like, the distance, like 2.4 kilometres, and then, like, jogged out on the other side of the gym and then crossed the finish line under the time and said, yeah, I'm good. And, like, the instructors were like, what? I saw you just, what are you talking about? Like, just tried to cheat, basically, and got caught. And so, yeah, his nickname, so that happened, like, 5 years before I ever met him. And so, yeah, his nickname stuck, and it was Rowboat Robinson, just forever. Like, sorry, buddy, but, like, that was a terrible call, and now that's what you're known as forever. I haven't seen him since then, but if I ever did, I'd know. I'm like, I recognize you. Sorry, mate. Yeah, Robert Robinson, what's going on? So as a Christian, though, we should be more concerned with our character rather than your reputation. Your character is going to reflect your actions, yeah, and your actions speak louder than words. So ensuring that we are aligned with Christ, we're making sure that our character reflects that. And that will come through in our actions. You would probably not do something dodgy and try and cheat a fitness test, for instance. But don't be robbed of joy and God's fulfillment by comparing yourself to others when it comes to leading and influencing, or anything. But particularly in this instance, if we're thinking about, right, my calling is to lead people to Christ, how do I do that? Don't worry yourself with how other people are doing it. Worry about how God's called you to do it. Amen. God has called us to be a light. So how are you doing that in your life? There's a story. It's another military example. And a man called Jonathan Rogers, he won the Distinguished Service Medal. And he won the George Cross, which is different from the Victoria Cross, you might know. George Cross is awarded the highest you can get, but not in a wartime. Anyway, he was a veteran of World War II and the Korean War. And in 1964, a training exercise off Jarvis Bay, which is to the south coast, an aircraft carrier, HMAS Melbourne, and a destroyer collided, cutting the Voyager in half. And so as the ship sank, Rogers, who at the time was a petty officer, so like a sergeant major, kind of senior guy, he was one of 50 sailors trapped in the darkness of the sinking part of the ship. So he took control. This is directly from his citation. You can look it up on the War Memorial. He took control and encouraged calm. He realized that not all would be able to escape the small hatch that he himself would not be able to fit through, and he had no chance of survival. He was more intent on getting the young chaps out, said a survivor. The section sank below the water after 10 minutes, and Rogers was heard gathering the remaining doomed men in the section in prayer in his final moments. That's pretty intense. In his last moments, he thought, right, what's my calling? I'm going to lead these men in prayer, yeah? Are we going to be, hopefully none of us are in a circumstance of a sinking ship where we're trapped in, obviously. But to just think of, like, this is my last moment for leadership here and I'm going to call people to Christ. What an incredible story. Why don't we get the band up? So I want to just ask you all to consider today. Do you consider yourself a leader? Because Jesus has called you and God has called you to be a leader. as a Christian. In fact, he's not just called you. Jesus says, you've been appointed. Yeah? So you've been appointed as that position of authority. But are you going to answer that calling? Because it's a responsibility that we all have and we're blessed with. What a great, amazing opportunity. You've got a promotion. And so I really want you to consider, what is our light shining in the world? Is it representing a real Christ-like Christian figure in the world? It's not that you're going to be going around preaching to everyone and putting up the milk stand and anything like that on the streets. Everyone's going to have a different form of it. But are you representing God in the way that He's called you to? Are you going out into the world today? Are you influencing in a Christian manner? Or are you stumbling around in the darkness just like everyone else, wondering, gee, I wish someone would come along and tell us what to do here? Yeah? Because we know where the answers are. Even if you don't have the answers, we know where the answers are. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your call. I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I want to thank you for your opportunity. I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. I want to thank you for your blessing. Like Paul, as we go out into the world and speak your word, Lord, I want to thank you that you guide us. Thank you, Lord, that you enable us to be the best version of ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for your blessing and for your grace, Lord, to send your son Jesus to give us that model of leadership, to die on the cross for our sins and allow us, Lord, to enter your presence. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.